Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. I think having the, so, you know, it was just Labor Day yesterday.
It was.
And I think
what a
the,
pro.
The September Labor Day is fucked. Labor Day is May 1st. That's the International Labor Day.
That's an international one?
It is the International Workers' Day.
Why do Americans do that?
Well, because organized labor in this country was brutally suppressed, and employers were like, let's make another Labor Day that's not one in international solidarity with the entire rest of the world. So they made it September, first Monday in September.
Yeah. I've just met you and I've learned so much.
I am full of information.
Especially about labor stuff. You're very informed on labor
situations. We do
situations.
It a lot.
Yeah.
We're around.
You fuck with unions?
I do fuck with unions. I don't think that unions are inherently leftist, but I fuck with unions.
Yo, yeah.
I would love to be in a union.
Who should I vote for in the guild?
Oh, let's talk about this off the air. Okay. I'm trying to get a job. These people are vindictive.
So when did unions officially like go out of fashion? Was it just when Reagan crushed the...
Was it when Reagan crushed them? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that
well, basically, like, you know, I am not an expert on the history of American labor, but I do know that there was like a huge resurgence in the early 1900s. This is also when there was a lot of like violent anarchist activity in places like Chicago, right? So like with industrialization, there was like a very strong labor movement. People fucking struck and fought and died for an 8-hour workday, you know, which we now take for granted, you know, like there didn't used to be an 8-hour workday. There didn't used to be weekends. So like people really fought for all this stuff in kind of like the early 1900s. And then basically from the 50s onward, you know, the government was more like breaking down unions, and antitrust laws were either repealed or just, you
relaxed.
Know, not renewed, relaxed, so that monopolies could grow. But like in the early era of like industrialization, when there were like trains and stuff, there were all these, when trains were getting big, you know, there were all these monopolies, and then the government was like, well, we have to break these up.
Right.
And that helped organize labor. But then, you know, eventually they were like, no, this is pretty cool.
Is it going to continue to be a push-pull? Like, do you think? Like, because I was reading.
I think so.
This dude just wrote an article. He created the show Good Trouble. But he wrote a real, I was like, let me see what this dude is talking about. But he wrote a really good article.
Good Trouble.
And I was like, okay, let me see what he has to say about unions. And then I read it and I was like, oh, this is actually really profound. And like, he was kind of talking about how it feels like now a lot of people, especially with the Trump administration, the Bush administration, are working really hard to relax and, like you said, repeal some of that shit. And that now is the time where we can either, like, not let that happen or it's going to go too far.
The airline strike that's going on now is, like, a big example of that. Like, Unite Here is a union of airline workers from many different airlines, and they're right now trying to fight for, like what is it? United, I think, is paying people, like, $9.25 an hour.
That's
and they're making billions and billions in profits. So stuff like that is kind of, like, it's coming down to the line where people are like, well, we're getting fucked so bad, we don't have any choice but to do this shit anymore. Because you just can't live. You know, these are people working two jobs and still not making enough to live.
That's insane.
It's fucked.
Do we think it was part of, like, a conscious strategic decision to make Labor Day, like, kind of a shitty holiday where it's the end of summer? Like, it, like, makes you depressed a little bit.
Yeah.
And they were like, instead of making it the beginning of the summer, it's like, hey.
May 1st, it's Beltane, you know, it's the horniest day of the year.
Right.
It's like a magic day.
That's
Wait,
true.
What's Beltane?
Beltane is like the, is like a pagan thing.
Oh, nice.
It's like a pagan celebration. The first, it's not like the first day of spring. It's halfway between the spring solstice and the, or sorry, the spring equinox and the summer solstice.
Right. It's the day that I'm always horniest.
Yeah,
it's
a big, big horny.
Watch out for me on May 1st, people.
I've been keeping a log of my horniness levels.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo! Off the charts today. Let's talk about Dior, you guys. They've got a new ad that is...
Which Dior? The Jewish one?
Which Dior?
Yeah, which Dior?
I don't know.
There's two Diors?
There's two Diors. There's Muslim Dior, Jewish Dior, and Christian Dior.
It's not the best in the biz for nothing.
Thank you.
So they've got a new ad that is a Native American doing a ceremonial dance that it says, "We are the land." And the text that appears alongside it says, "An authentic journey deep into the Native American soul in a sacred, founding, and secular territory."
What?
More, yes. More to come September 1st.
Mm-hmm. More land?
Yes. No. More appropriation. this is a perfume or cologne. I'm not sure which.
I thought it was land.
No. So We Are the Land is just the idea. Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously. No,
that's
but.
That's right.
So this scent sums up the idea of Native Americans being the land.
Does it smell like blood?
Probably a little bit. There's like blood mixed with passion fruit. but so this is a scent that is called Sauvage. It's basically savage with a U added. So we found a longer version of the ad that gives it context. And the way that we get context is we see Johnny Depp. Yes, Johnny Depp walking through a desert with an electric guitar.
Finally.
And he looks up, startled, like a meerkat. And then there is a young, attractive woman in like a wolf fur who like looks up at him, startled, like, what is he doing here?
Is she on all fours or is she standing?
She's, I think she's standing. It's actually
but that's
tough
a good
to
note.
Say.
Mm. But that's a good note.
Right.
To know.
And then Johnny Depp shreds a nasty guitar solo in the middle of the desert.
Yes.
And then they cut to that dude doing the ceremonial dance. And then
well, what happens
it says,
to the
we
wolf
are the land.
Lady?
She's just there, you know.
Does she enjoy the shredding or?
She, like, it's hard to say. I think she's just aware of his presence. But she's not actually, like, spatially there. It's more of, like, a...
She's the spirit of the land.
Right. Exactly.
Is she white? What's up with that? What's going on there?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Man, let's rewrite this ad, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
So it should start in darkness.
Okay.
And then a light comes in, right?
Mm.
Then you hear the howling of a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cut to that lady.
Yeah. Right.
And then she's like, she's on all fours because
she's
a wolf. And it'll be crazy if she was walking. If she was walking, that's a whole different commercial.
Okay.
So she's all on fours.
If she's walking, then it's Crash Bandicoot.
Exactly. It's a world in where animals are walking.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
And that's not a world we want to live in.
No.
Right.
So then Johnny Depp comes out of the ground and he's crushing it on the guitar solo, mm-hmm. but then someone stops him and it's Elizabeth Warren and she says, I should be playing the guitar.
Right.
And then she takes the guitar and keeps playing it, right?
Right.
Okay. The results of her DNA test flash mm-hmm. on the screen behind
on the screen, right. just to make sure everyone knows we know who she is.
She's legit.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I'm trying to think of where I can take this commercial to where it's not problematic.
Mm. Well, you want a suggestion?
Yeah, tag
in. The wolf girl whips out a bass yeah. and they shred together.
Yeah.
They make beautiful music mm-hmm. together.
Like when Red Hot Chili Peppers was playing at the Slauson Castle.
Yes.
And then the guitarist and the bassist. I don't know the bassist's name. His name is Flea. I don't know the guitarist's name.
Kiedis.
But they ain't that the lead singer?
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't he play guitar?
Nah, he's not the guitarist.
I fucked it up. I'm
I want to say it's okay. John Favreau, but that's not right.
Isn't that the drummer?
Go teach you where to wish you told.
There it is.
And they're just playing with each other.
Oh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was looking at a Trace Cyrus. Trace Cyrus has a lot of portraits of Native Americans on him for a guy who grew up in a white guy who grew up in Tennessee and then now lives in LA.
Right. But how's he supposed to show respect? I mean,
I don't know. That's a question I'm always asking.
Right. Exactly. Trace.
How do I show respect for a race I'm not?
Yeah.
Get a tattoo.
That's right.
Oh, well, that's why I got so many tattoos of white people on my body.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
All right. So when I was preparing for this, I couldn't decide whether I wanted to get all heady and serious or talk about Popeye's chicken sandwiches. So I kind of cut it down the middle. But I guess this is, now that I'm looking at my notes, I took like Slavoj Žižek notes. So this is kind of an intense point. But I think I was thinking about this and I was like, myth, a big myth to me is this idea that like art is a weapon. And what I mean by that is that, like, you know, I mean, we're here in LA, we're mm-hmm. in the land where we make all the things, you know, mm. all the media and stuff. Yes. So maybe it's relevant. There's a very popular idea in America that like, I'm going to fight Trump with my music or whatever,
right.
or, you know, or with movies and stuff like that. And I kind of also call bullshit on this, I guess. I think it's a very popular myth, and it's profitable. And what I mean by that is, here's why I was thinking about it, right? So this Dave Chappelle special comes out, and everyone in the right wing, the Breitbarts and Reason.coms, all these people are like, you know, the cancel culture people don't want you to see this special, right?
Right.
And everyone makes fun of them because it's hilarious. But then, you know, like a few years ago, this Lady Ghostbusters movie came out, and how they advertise it. They're like, oh, the bros don't want you to see it. I'm like, what do these two things have in common?
Right.
They don't want you to buy my product.
Right.
So stick it to them by buying my thing, right?
Right.
That's how like capitalism came back around and just molded itself around all this stuff we're talking about.
Mm.
And it's dumb. I'm against it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think there's the idea that you could somehow just be like, dude, these subversive T-shirts are gonna end child separation. Your heart's in the right place, but I don't know if we're talking in terms of an action plan, that's the best thing to do. But I guess if you're just using it as awareness, that's one level of it. But I think to suppose that's the, you know, that's going to directly affect things.
But it kind of like, I think it's advantageous to people in power to permeate these myths because it really keeps people from doing anything that actually threatens power by thinking like, you know, well, I could do a bunch of boring, dry political shit, or I could pick up a brick, or I could do my hobby. And then that's also somehow part of this process. And it's like, you know, imagine you're like a king, you're inside of a tower, you don't want to get in the tower. There's all these people outside and they have weapons, right? Well, it would be probably pretty advantageous to like permeate the idea that like weapons aren't, that's not how you do it. Do it with a song, you know?
Right. You know what would really fucking piss me off is if y'all stayed at home.
Right.
Yeah.
That would really fuck me up.
Yeah. I don't know. So like, I guess this idea gets thrown around a lot of the circles I'm in, and I think it's the point I'm trying to make, I guess, is like art is the end of society, not the beginning of it. Like it's the end result.
Right.
And so that's what America has backwards to me.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, all art is political. And so, like, sometimes when people are going out to specifically make a political statement that they have consciously concocted in their mind, I feel like sometimes, just in terms of the quality of the art, that's it tends to work better when it's like something that has taken some time to stew in your unconscious.
Well, or just in general, the best art is true, actual self-expression rather than like pop music where it's like, well, this is banging right now. If I do something in this world, I can get swept up, therefore. And I think that's a big difference too.
If it's like meaning first and then there's like a point in it later. If you're writing a joke, if it's funny first and then that happens to have a point of view in it because it's your point of view and it's attached to the things you think about, that's a joke, right? But if you start with the thing you're trying to say, that's propaganda.
Right.
And then you're just a fucking Christian rock musician and, you know, that's not fun, you know?
I was a Christian rock musician for a while.
In high school, sick. When you were yelling cum?
Yeah, wild, yelling cum, yeah. Exactly.
Singing cum in the voice of the Lord.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah.
We call it Ecclesiastes.
That's a pretty good Christian band name. Let's talk about ranch.
This ranch dressing, it is ideology.
Yes, exactly.
Bullshit.
People always say, you know, all ranch dressing is political. And Miles, so Hidden Valley, which, by the way, there is a Hidden Valley ranch that ranch dressing was invented at. I just learned that during
the year of our Lord, 1954.
Yes.
Apparently. The makers of Hidden Valley Ranch are claiming victory over ketchup, that it is now their influence. 70% of ranch usage now happens beyond the salad bowl. Including for dipping pizza fries and popcorn. And now this is where I get fucked up. They said it has displaced blue cheese as a dipping sauce choice for wings. That's a fucking lie.
That's a lie.
And that's how I know this whole thing is bullshit.
Yes.
Because I will never put ranch on a wing.
But this is a long-standing kind of conversation that Hidden Valley has been trying to get started since 2012. I found an article where they were like, Hidden Valley is going to supplant ketchup as the number one condiment by putting out this new product, Hidden Valley Everything, which is thicker and so it sticks better to burgers and fries.
What?
Here's how they should advertise it. They should be like, these PC culture people, right, they don't want you to eat ranch on everything.
Fucking own them. Pwn them with this extra ranch.
It's true. The cultural elites don't want you to eat. They're all, that'll give you a heart attack.
Ranch is just fucking, I get it. I really liked ranch when I was a teenager because I'd never had it really growing up because my mom just didn't have that kind of shit in our house. And then I would start eating, like I had friends who put ranch on everything. I was like, this is a wave.
Right.
Then it died off because I realized it was just covering everything I ate and there was no other flavor. It was more just like masking shit in ranch.
Right.
Now I'm like really not as into the whole ranch thing, but like when you see all these like ranch fest they have in Vegas or whatever, where people are like beer bonging fucking ranch.
Oh.
It's just like the new fucking bacon where people are mistaking food for a personality.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm a little,
whoa,
you know.
Ranch bacon, hold on.
Yep. Well, no, that's the thing. And that's when you look at like the shit Hidden Valley is making, they're like, they found a way to weaponize ranch in every possible way.
By the way, ketchup isn't the number one condiment in the United States.
Salsa, right?
It's actually mayo.
Oh, shit.
And mayo by like a lot. 400 million containers sold each year. Then salsa with 271 million.
It's probably because of real America.
That's right.
Catch my drift.
Which is funny. I thought they're all those like fucking takes like, oh, millennials are ruining mayo. Mayo's dying. Because millennials are poor.
I think that was a single article we found written by a woman who was mad that people didn't like her chicken salad.
Yeah. It's always somebody with a really specific agenda.
Right.
Millennials don't want to come over to my apartment anymore.
They're killing the coming over to my apartment industry.
Millennials think my Scarface poster is, quote, gay.
Anyways, be wary of any ranch news that you hear. I know you guys have been just reading ranch news with an open mind, but try and be a little bit
cynical. This is what's wild. There is a ranch dipping sauce, right? If you go to the Hidden Valley site, they have a whole subsection of different ranches you can get. Okay, one is called Blasted Creamy Dipping Sauce Ranch Dipped Pizza Flavor. Now,
ranch
what the fuck?
Dipped pizza?
It's basically evoking the taste the ranch, the dressing that comes out of this is meant to evoke the flavor of you dipping pizza into ranch.
Of it's a flavor, it's a ranch dressing that's flavored as ranch dressing that has pizza dipped
in it.
This is
that's what I'm saying.
This is meta.
Right.
There's
right.
layers to this. This
what
is
do you
like
put
an onion.
That on? Do you put that on
this is
salad?
Inception.
Is this praxis?
Right. This is praxis, yeah.
it's just fucking, I don't know. It's meant to just be like, if you like the flavor of ranch and pizza, but you don't want to just dip your pizza in ranch, you just want to export that flavor to another eating experience. This is where I'm just saying the layers are becoming too thick and yeah. crazy.
Do you want to eat an Escher painting?
Right. Essentially.
Do you want your condiment to just confuse the shit out of
like
you?
Like that one scene in Labyrinth?
Right.
Have you ever made ranch?
No, I was just actually, I'll actually talk about this later. I'm into making my own dipping sauces recently, and I was realizing how easy it is to make ranch.
Yeah. It's making your own sauces is fun. I used to have to make it, because I worked at a pizza restaurant, uh-huh. and so you'd have to make it in batch, and like, it's basically just like three ingredients. It's just like buttermilk, and then like mayo or something.
Sour cream.
Some green shit. And then you put it all in a bucket, and then you get this big drill thing,
yeah,
like a power
like a
drill
head on
with
it.
A mixer
power
head.
Beater.
Yeah, you sit there like a construction worker, just like people walk by, you're like, yeah, it's really weird.
Was
to
it
watch
packets
it.
You were adding, or was it real like from scratch?
No,
ranch?
it was Hidden Valley actually.
Oh shit,
and
yeah,
it was
okay.
packets of green shit.
Of
I don't
scrunch.
Know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in ranch also, and I eat it constantly.
And look, and we shouldn't know in a way.
I don't yes. want to know.
It's America's new blood type.
all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. Guys, let's talk about the Straight Pride Parade that finally happened over the weekend.
The one in Boston?
The one in Boston finally happened over the long weekend.
Can I just say, I'm so glad I unplugged from the news for the last couple of days.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this was poorly executed from a number of standpoints, but number one being they held it over a holiday weekend that I had no idea it happened until after the holiday weekend. And I also had no idea it happened until after the holiday weekend because it was... just it kind of nothing happened.
It was a wet fart.
Yeah, it was like 200 people showed up, so not few enough to be like there. So there's been other straight pride parades. I didn't realize this. There was a quote hetero activist who staged a straight pride parade in Seattle back in, I think it was a couple years back.
2015.
And the attendance was lower.
Really? Huge?
It was just him.
couldn't find one other fucking weird angry fucker, that kind of
takes the wheels off of his whole argument,
right? Yeah.
That's a asexual parade just by default,
right?
Wow.
He had the black and white balloons, which ended up being black and white, ended up being the colors of the straight pride movement, if you want to call it that, which we shouldn't.
The straight pride bowel movement.
There's another straight pride parade just last week in Modesto, California, organized by Don Grundman, a chiropractor who also... keeps running for Senate and losing horribly.
Straight Pride Parade. Oh, you mean a podcast?
Drop the fucking ball. Don, a chiropractor. He's like, yeah, we got to keep things straight. Also, our spinal alignment.
Oh, maybe it's all viral marketing.
Yeah.
Oh,
could you? Oh, the most, like someone offhandedly said that to him and he has the worst ideas. And he's like, yeah, wait, hold on. Yeah. Straight Pride, straight backs. Straight. Okay. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. His logo on his site is a white fist next to the words fight the power. which looks even worse because
what is the power?
There's fight ourselves.
There's also an old photo of a lynching on his website that links to an article where he calls black people chumps. So
okay.
The about section of his site, he claims that the crappiness of the web design is on purpose. Because it's a meat and potatoes site that's here quote, assist you in both countering and leaving what I term as the Matrix, which...
Wait.
Which is amazing many reasons.
The about section of his website is defending the shitty web design by being like, yeah, because we're trying to fucking red pill in here.
Yes, and also claiming that he is the one who came up with comparing... the media to the Matrix. What I term as the Matrix.
So in a way, he's the originator of red pilling.
Yes, that's his claim.
That he's not specifically talking about the red pill like scene analogy in the Matrix, because he could be saying that the media is like those two albino twins from the second Matrix,
right?
Or some other weird shit.
Yeah, he hasn't thought it through thoroughly enough, or his mind doesn't work in that like meta textual.
He's like, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, guys, I've only seen the trailer for that.
When appearing before the Modesto City Council to make his case for his straight pride parade, because nobody wanted it to be on shared county land, so he had to end up renting out a place, which then canceled it there. So he just had it in his basement, basically. But when he was talking to the Modesto City Council to make his case that he should be able to have a straight pride parade, he had a bit of a Freudian slip where he said, "We're a totally peaceful racist group." Which,
cool.
Yeah, that's tough. Anyways, only 20 people were there to celebrate when his party eventually popped off. But 200 LGBTQ allies showed up to oppose them. And that brings us to Boston just last weekend. First of all, they fucked things up initially by using Brad Pitt's likeness.
Right.
They were like...
It's like the ultimate straight guy.
Yeah. Tyler Durden, dog. We're all Tyler Durden.
I mean, we just think it's really cool him as an image of like the straight man, because you know, like he's so hot and like his body's so tight and like everything about him like glistening. Like I don't know if that's real sweat or like the makeup department put glycerin all over his abs or whatever, but I'm feeling it.
What's more heterosexual than an imaginary metrosexual friend?
Who's telling you to do all that bad stuff?
Yeah.
Is it teaching you how to use hair gel and shit?
Right.
So about 200 people showed up to march, and were mostly drowned out by 600 to 1,000 counter-protesters.
Didn't they, like, shift it because the straight pride parade thing became so, like, such a joke around it that they're like, well, it's also going to be, like, a costume parade, too. Well,
so I think that was sort of their thinking heading in, is how, straight culture has nothing to associate itself with. So whereas gay culture, like the gay pride parades look amazing.
Right.
Like, and people have, you know, things to do like visually that like make them really fun to look at. They were like, oh, shit,
like
straight pride is just black and white balloons. Like, what are we going to do? So they were like, you guys do cosplay. It'll be cool. It was so well thought through that on the site it said, best solo costume gets a $100 gift card to something.
It's just Halloween.
A $100 gift card to something. and a $200 card goes to the best straight couples cosplay for something again.
Wow.
The reason that pride parades have a culture to them is that they have an origin, and they've just been made from whole cloth like the straight pride parade. Pride is in celebration of the, you know, the Battle of Stonewall, where a bunch of queer people got into a street fight with the police inside of a bar,
right,
and barricaded the walls up. Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is that a straight pride parade implies the existence of straight Stonewall.
Like right.
There was some kind of oppression.
Yeah. Or some sort of street fight with like whoever they're saying oppresses them. You know?
Yeah.
Like the PC police.
Twitter.
Perhaps. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Or the queer eye people saying I should stop wearing cargo shorts.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's my fucking Stonewall, man.
It denotes the day on which Queer Eye said cargo shorts weren't cool anymore.
Oh, so Brooks running shoes with Reebok white socks pulled up to my knees isn't a cool look?
Yeah.
Right.
It's like violence against me, man.
The Queer Eye guys got hired to make over their dad, and they like boarded up the walls and shit. And they were like, right, they're trying to get in here.
Right.
Oh, God. The photos look really, really exciting.
Pretty bleak.
And lo and behold, how many fucking cargo shorts are in this fucking photo, dude?
Yeah.
Like, even when you look, it's like 1, 2, 3.
There are 3 pairs of shorts in the picture, or 4 pairs, and 3 of them are cargo shorts. So,
good ratio.
Yeah. Not a ton of women were showing pride in their straightness. And AOC tweeted, for men who are allegedly so proud of being straight, they seem to show real incompetence at attracting women to their event. Seems more like a I struggle with masculinity parade to me. Hope they grow enough over the next year to support join LGBTQ fam next hashtag pride. And that set the right-wing media off.
Oh, their favorite person. Their favorite lightning rod.
Mm. It gave them something to cover. It was beneficial to them in the sense that it gave them something to cover that wasn't the parade itself, because that was just self-evidently embarrassing.
Right.
But anyways, it looks like at this point, straight pride parades are a resounding 0-3. But, you know, keep trying, guys.
I don't know, man. You seen a Patriots Super Bowl celebration parade?
Right. Yeah, I mean,
undefeated,
that's the thing.
Bro.
Like, there's plenty of, most parades are straight pride parades, right? Like, that's,
well, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
but this one has
the
costumes.
Monoculture. Yeah, yeah.
It's fun. There's
it has terrible masks.
There's clowns. Yeah. Did you see the weird green clown guys?
No.
There's a picture that went around on Twitter of like a snapshot of these two guys that had green like makeup all over their faces and clown wigs, and somebody explained it to me. It's they took the Pepe Frog and made it alt-right, you know, back in like 2016, and then they kept evolving it like Pokemon style. So there's like a bigger one called Groiper, and then the next
Groiper?
Yeah, it's like this bigger, weirder Pepe, and then there's this thing called Honkler now, and that's what they were dressed up as, which is like a Pepe frog that's also a clown. And I don't know what it means, but they certainly could explain why they're dressed up as a frog clown as a way of celebrating the fact that they supposedly have sex with women.
Yes, tons of it.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah, that is very strange. I wish I had not seen those pictures.
Oh, yeah, it's nightmare fuel.
Miles, you pointed out this look at Trump supporters as an expression of this new trend.
Yeah, a need for chaos. Yeah. So these political scientists, they did like six surveys. They're European researchers, but they did four surveys in the U.S. where they interviewed over 5,000 participants, and two in Denmark with like somewhere around like 1,300. To kind of find, like, they had this theory essentially that there's a need for some people who are participating in politics or a democracy that are just looking for what they call chaos incitement, which is a strategy of last resort by marginalized status seekers. So what they're essentially saying is, like, you know, Trump has often just sort of tried to create this narrative that America is in chaos. And you know, like that sort of build himself up to be like, look at these other presidents, they're failures. It's chaos. It's chaos. It's chaos. We need to change it. But they found that a lot of these people who have a need for chaos, they sort of get that out or express that need by just spreading like conspiracy theories and fake news and all this other stuff. And it's not necessarily because they're trying to spread their own ideology. It's just that their ideology is that they want to undermine the political establishment, elites, whatever, and try and get others inspired to be like, yeah, fuck this thing.
Right.
And before, I think a lot of times you could look at it as like, oh, these people want this specific thing. That's why they're tweeting this out. But they're, you know, as they look at it, they're like, no, these people really just do this, not even because they believe that it's true. Mm-hmm. They say, quote, for the core group, hostile political rumors are simply a tool to create havoc. So in the way they identified these people is that they found that the people who were like really into this sort of this drawn to chaos category, that they had affirmative responses to the following statements. I fantasize about a natural disaster wiping out most of humanity such that a small group of people can start all over. I think society should be burned to the ground. When I think about our political and social institutions, I cannot help thinking, quote, just let them all burn. We cannot fix the problems in our social institutions. We need to tear them down and start over. Sometimes I just feel like destroying beautiful things.
Well, I relate to all of these statements.
Yeah.
I agree with all of them. I guess I'm a Trump supporter.
Well, they say like a lot of these tied strongly to support for Trump and then even to Bernie Sanders to a lesser extent.
Right.
Because these are vague in the sense that if you can see like, oh, we're this capitalist structure we live under like is not working. We need to let this shit burn. I mean, that's a thing we've even said about like fucking burn it down.
Yeah.
But it's very, very strong with people who identified as like supporting Trump.
Some of Trump's earliest supporters were these people who looked at like psychographic data that they had stolen basically from Facebook and were like, we've been tracking like political, like where people were in America politically. And right now it just spiked in terms of people who are ready for like an outsider candidate to come in and just basically flip the checkers table and, you know, just upend the game. And so that makes sense that like Bernie, who is coming in and like criticizing things from the outside, and also Trump, like both of these people who don't make sense to the mainstream media, would come in and like have some success.
I mean, it shows it's at the very least there is a growing number of people who feel completely powerless in the system,
right?
And now are can some embrace just its total destruction.
I mean,
or other people just want to see it shook up.
Yeah, I mean, people have been wanting, you know, fantasizing about zombie apocalypses for
forever,
like decades now.
I remember when that was like the fucking every Urban Outfitters gift had something to do with the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
Like zombie survival guide, which I read.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of simplifying things, I think there's something alienating and a little bit like a deep existential terror about the number of people there are in the world and like how big the world is that like people don't really like to kind of tangle with the idea that you're actually just one of, you know, 7 billion people.
That your life means nothing.
Right. Yeah. I think that fucks with people. And that's where, you know, a lot of our movies are about finding out that you're secretly the most important person on the planet, like in The Matrix or Harry Potter, right. You know, like all these huge movies are just like, oh, it turns out I'm the only one who matters, like, which right. is
fuck y'all.
Yeah, I think this whole movement is tapping into a very human, like, way of confronting that and just being like, holy shit. Like, in America especially, we don't deal with things by thinking about ourselves as part of a collective, or at least we don't do that well.
Oh,
we
no way.
We don't That's make true. Meaning about out of that.
That's that is a problem with a lot of people. They don't think, to quote George Costanza, we're living in a society.
Right.
I think that's the problem, is that a lot of people don't move with other people in mind and the day-to-day aspects. And that's what's frustrating. It's like, a really good example of that is when you're driving and a bus tries to merge and you see how many people won't let a bus merge.
Right.
That drives me fucking crazy.
I'm always in the bus trucks.
Yeah.
I always see that where trucks are like in an exit lane and they're like, I have to get over or
and
merge.
And people are like, no,
like,
I have
fuck
to.
You.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's, yeah. It's gridlock traffic. And it's like, dude, what do you?
They're like
you,
2 seconds, bro.
And it's
bro.
A bus right. full of people. Let yeah. them in. I don't know. It's just, you see examples all the time. I mean, even like the stupid straw thing is ridiculous, of like how we're banning straws, but like we can't, I don't know, we can't ban plastic in general.
Right,
right, right.
We're
right.
so yeah. dependent on that, but we want to get rid of these straws, which is proof that like nobody has any good ideas.
Right.
Well, yeah. And the ones that are would hold like too much of like the stakeholders at the top of industries accountable.
Right.
And they're like, no, don't bring that spotlight over here.
Yeah. I mean, look at Jay-Z trying to be like, let me fix the NFL.
Yeah,
and it's like, uh-huh. dude, what are you doing?
They're like, bro, you look like a fucking sellout right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. I mean, he looks crazy. It's also like impossible to change what's going on in an institution that's been existing for so long.
Yeah. By handshaking with other billionaire plantation
crazy.
Owners
yeah.
who are like, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah, we'll figure this out.
It's tough.
Yeah, and even with that whole Jay-Z thing, part of me thinks like there could be the element that there is some kind of idea that he wouldn't just so foolishly engage with the NFL like that. And then part of me, we said this when the story first came out, we're like, part of me just knows he's a fucking hustler, dude. He's about that check. So
yeah.
he might really
he's
be like, no, fuck cap, dude. Fuck
yeah.
all this
yeah.
shit. That's a
yeah.
fucking deal I just signed.
Yeah.
He's a long-term guy.
Yeah.
When you think about how long he waited for Beyonce's virginity. He waited a long time for that. And
was she a virgin? No. Really?
Maybe.
I don't know.
She only had one other boyfriend before him, and she said she was saving it.
Yeah, but Beyonce would have that power. She's like, I'm a virgin.
I'm a virgin. Thank
yeah.
you so much for waiting.
Ooh.
It's me, Beyonce. I'm a virgin.
That's really
It's a blessing to be a virgin.
Holy shit. I can't believe Beyonce is here on
Thank you so
day
much.
After her 38th birthday.
You know, yeah. Daily Zeitgate. How you say it? daily Zeit. I don't know how to
How's
say
veganism
that.
How's veganism working out for you?
It's good. I'm hungry. I couldn't eat my birthday cake. Jay-Z is crazy. But to your point, I do think he is someone who could easily be playing the long game and having the center be money. Like,
yeah,
right.
What is it? Compassionate capitalism, which is not a real thing.
Yeah.
Right.
But
yeah.
I think that's kind of what he's justified for himself.
You don't right. become you know? A billionaire by accident.
Yeah.
You become a billionaire by being a
ruthless animal.
Ruthless. Yeah, predator.
As he said, you didn't start out from your trunk to
right.
reach the roof just to put the roof in your trunk.
Right.
That's poetic.
You know what I mean?
That's poetic.
Yeah, that's thank you.
Thank you so much.
And also, as he said, Jay-Z in the range, crazy and deranged.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he told us he was crazy
mm-hmm.
from the beginning. So, you know, I mean.
We're on the Ari Melber show.
That was relevant. The Ari Melber show is so, so whack.
As Jay-Z said, the streets is watching.
Oh.
I have 99 problems,
oh,
but
God.
A B word is not one.
It's like, you should have just said it, Ari. Just say it.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. Should we talk about Starbucks?
Oh, yes.
What happened at Starbucks? Well, didn't get that far down in the dock.
No, you want this one. Okay. This will lighten your mood after that.
I'll tell you if it lightens my mood.
Okay, good. Let me know. Do you go to Starbucks? First question.
Sometimes.
Okay. Do you have an order that you regularly have?
No.
What do you get? Just like black coffee?
Black coffee.
There you
coconut
go.
Coconut milk.
Have you ever used the app to order?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, anyone who's opened the app and just tried to order something as simple as black coffee, you will see the customization menu is fucking bananas. The amount of shit you can just do to a fucking cup of water is just absurd. And apparently this has been causing a lot of problems for baristas because people don't know how to act with these customizations. So you can add syups, pumps of flavor syrup, fucking fruit, mashed fruit or whatever, fucking powders, milks, fucking the amount of ice, all this shit is in there. Well, now they're saying, look, We got to pull this shit back. Because y'all are going ham on these modifiers. And now they have to limit
before
modifiers.
Pumpkin spice season?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it might have been pumpkin spice season that occasioned this change.
The whole deal is now, this is the thing, gasp, they're limiting modifiers. You can only add the same ingredient only 12 times. So before that, people were going into the 20s
what
and 30s.
What does that mean?
So like, you could be like, I want this drink plus 30 shots of espresso.
Okay.
Or I want
this. I think
this
it's like 30 shots of vanilla syrup.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So these are some of the drinks people were ordering.
Okay, this will help.
A venti 9-shot, 1-pump mocha, non-fat, no whip, with exactly 4 shakes of cinnamon. That's something you can do in the fucking app, okay? Here's another one.
I mean, 9 shots makes some sense to me. I mean, that's just added caffeine. That's just extra coffee. Yeah,
for sure. I get that. Let me get more obscene.
Are you guys fighting right now?
How about this? A cold brew, 10 pumps vanilla, 5 pumps caramel, 5 pumps classic syrup, 5 pumps more of caramel, 5 pumps white mocha, whole milk, coconut milk, heavy cream, almond milk, sweet cream, cinnamon, vanilla powder, sweet and low,
what the
stevia,
fuck is wrong with this
Splenda,
person?
Sugar, dark chocolate curls, and extra whipped cream.
See, that's what happens when you not get enough pumps in your pussy.
To start ordering this shit.
You need other shit in your life to help you make you feel better, but that's ridiculous.
That really feels like somebody who's taking advantage of the freebies and shit. They're like, you know what? I should put all that shit in there. Like, I don't care if it's...
It just sounds like a sad Karen.
Yeah, it will melt your teeth.
I mean, yeah.
The teeth, I just worry about people's dental health. I worry about insulin spikes, diabetic shock just happening straight up in the drive-thru. Another one, the thing that was the most absurd to me was called the 2020. Someone just get a grande with 20 pumps vanilla, 20 pumps hazelnut.
I was hoping it was Barbara Walters, John Stossel themed. And not something
no,
like
dude,
that.
Old that school, her and Hugh Downs.
I'm Hugh Downs.
But yeah, 2020 is, what the
That's crazy.
That's not even a thing that I feel is drinkable.
This is what people do when they don't have a personality.
Right?
They have no culture.
Well, I think it...
No
this
sense
is
of
a culture,
self.
A 2020.
Yeah.
I think this is straight up addiction. Like, I think
yeah,
this
is
sugar,
sugar addiction.
Like, straight up, yeah, sugar being like the thing that kind of, you know, it's like the rat hitting the lever. Until you get all the pellets.
But what do you think sugar
pumps
withdrawal looks like? Somebody who's sick off coming off sugar.
I mean, it's a lot of headaches.
Right.
It's a lot of just like not feeling like yourself. Right,
like no, right. Yeah, like no appetite.
Because I took myself off of like sugar addiction like years ago. And fucking hard.
Yeah.
Well, because I was just like, you got to understand, my metabolism has been fucking great.
It looks
since
like
I was a kid.
It moves at the speed of the
it
Millennium
really
Falcon.
It really does. So I could just eat whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
And sugar was like top. And it still is. Like, if I could have donuts to every meal, I would.
Oh.
I really would.
Favorite donut?
Oh, God. Crueler, probably.
Mm. Wow.
And it depends. Classy. On yeah, it's so good.
Wait, so what were you at your darkest moment with the sugar?
Just like no water and just drinking soda.
Wow.
Like that was my water, was drinking soda. And
favorite soda?
Coca-Cola Classic.
All right.
If I'm feeling spicy, get a little cherry Coca-Cola.
Ooh.
But yeah, that's what, so, and I still struggle with it, but it's part of why like I get my coffees with just milk is because I was starting every day with like tons of sugar in my
right,
coffee.
Right, right, right.
You can't start your day with that shit.
Yeah.
You know, caffeine already is bad enough. But that sugar shit is tough, but like, because I also get migraines in general.
Right.
So like when I started getting, I mean, I lost 10 pounds almost immediately, and I didn't realize it was just like the sugar. That's all
right.
It was.
Right. Like, yeah, the sugar just got off your body.
Yeah, it just got off my body. And so those withdrawals are tough. And even now, I'm like, oh, I need to eat sugar. And I'm not diabetic, which thank God.
Right.
It's seriously thank God because I should be. And I actually got tested, which was funny because every time I'm like, can I just get my blood tested? They're like, you're skinny. You're fine. I'm like, that's not how anything
right.
works.
Right.
Fucking idiot.
You should
fine.
See me. Here,
I
look at
I
this montage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
a doctor? Just take my fucking blood,
what's your
please?
Secret, ma? I'm sorry. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm here because I have
dear
really
girl.
Bad headaches. Okay. Go ahead. Go off, queen.
And I like made them test my blood. But, you know. But that's the other thing is that like people, if you, especially if you're not, if you don't quote look diabetic, people will really dismiss you.
Sure.
And I was like, no one's going to help my sugar addiction except me. Like nobody cares because also the only thing that I would get is, which I do have now, is acne. And it's one of those things where people are like, oh, that's it? Good for you. That's a blessing. And I'm like, that's still not, my body's
right.
still reacting negatively
sure.
to this
yeah.
consumption. And yeah, so I think, yeah, people just have an unhealthy sugar addiction. And it's also like, it's easy to dismiss sugar addiction because it's not opioids, it's not
right.
booze, it's
right.
not drinking and driving.
Right.
It's
exactly.
just like, oh, having sugar.
It's not affecting my job negatively.
Right,
you know
even though
mean?
You're a
yeah.
bitch at work, Karen.
Right.
Fix that.
They're like, we're out of stevia!
Yeah.
Just screaming. But you know what? Worry
it's
not
hard.
For people who are, if your order is a 2020, You can still get that embarrassing ass drink. You just have to order it in person and say it out loud in front of other people at a Starbucks.
That's a great way to shame people into reducing their sugar intake.
Well, that was a theory a lot of baristas had who were they interviewed when they were talking about this. They were just like, you see it more in the app because they feel like those people don't have to go and tell a human being, hi, I would like a 10-pump vanilla, 5-pump caramel, 5-pump classic syrup, 5-pump mocha, whole milk, coconut.
It's crazy.
Yeah, people would be like, what the fuck?
See, shame is good. Yeah. We do need to bring back a little bullying in schools.
Yeah. Just let you know, at least get feedback from the outside world.
Feedback. That's what we call bullying. Feedback.
Yeah, that's what, thank you to the woke bully.
Yeah, yeah.
You rebranded it as feedback.
I've got some feedback for you.
So I got some feedback.
Push them down.
I got this feedback for you. What the fuck is this outfit?
Right.
That's funny. I'm going to write a bit about that.
Feedback? Nice. Right, yeah. Thank you.
I got some, mom, dad, I got some bad user feedback.
I got terrible feedback at school. Was it from Marcella?
Yeah. Your teacher, Marcella?
Is that we have those screens? Your teacher.
It was Miss Arguello again.
Oh, shit.
I walk dumb.
You walk
Well, Jimmy,
dumb,
you
bitch.
Do walk dumb.
Look at your pigeon-toed ass. Man, get the fuck out of here.
Ooh, I was pigeon-toed when I was a kid.
Were you really?
Yeah.
I went to a wedding, and somebody's mom put them on blast that they were pigeon-toed. It was hilarious. No, and nobody knew because we knew him as an adult.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't know that he was pigeon-toed as a kid, and she hella put
Just
him
went
on
in?
She went in on him.
Was this during
but
the
it
toast?
Was, very sweet. Yeah, they were giving speeches, but it was free speech. It was just open speeches, which is fucking ridiculous.
That shit happens a lot at weddings.
I hated
when
it.
When it's just nonstop.
There's sometimes way too when long. It's like a fucking bad open mic.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, shit, you know what? Maybe I would like to say something too.
Yeah.
Like, no. The stepfather doesn't need to say something again.
Yeah. And most people don't talk well.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's
it's very circular too, because everybody's fucked up at that point. Like, I just want to tell everybody, when I look at these kids, I've just been, just feel a lot of love
Their
for them.
Their back turned to the whole room.
Exactly. And I got a lot of hope, and I feel like just you look around, everybody's rooting for you guys, and we're going to, just got a lot of love for you guys. And no matter what, just look in each other's eyes. I don't know. Yeah.
You're too good at this.
You guys know he's so good at drunk guys.
Because it's my favorite shit. There is the other thing though too that you said that
Get
reminded
your
me
out of my face.
Just finger waving.
See,
I don't know. It's this caffeine.
His, yeah.
Is the it's like at weddings when family members go in so hard on the people that are getting married and you have no idea.
Right.
I saw. I'm not gonna name names because I think these people might listen to the show. Yo, I saw someone's sibling do a whole fucking song about how they shit themselves.
Right.
And I was like, yo. That's fucking wild. This was at a rehearsal dinner.
Oh my God.
If they listen, they're going to know.
Yeah, they're going to know.
That's not a thing that happens
at
a lot of weddings.
I went to a wedding on Friday, and the bridesmaid, best whatever the fuck that shit is called, the best woman, she...
Maid of honor.
The maid of honor. I think best woman is a better
Best woman is better.
And the best woman was giving her speech, and she was like, and then they went... Through that breakup, and we all, because we're all comedians, we all booed. We're all like, boo! Because he broke up with her. We're like, boo!
Oh, nice. Damn.
And she really talked about their break, because they had a big breakup. And I leaned over to my friend who was there, and I was like, girl, don't ever, if I ever get married, and if you give a speech, don't ever bring up the bad times.
Yeah.
Don't bring up the bad times. That's not what the wedding
not
is
Not even
about.
If you're trying to juxtapose that with how far we've come.
Yeah,
just
no.
Bring
the
bad
out.
Times?
You
sure.
Just freeze over
I mean, we remember.
I think we all remember.
Oh, remember man. When you we called you the Zan Man?
Whoa.
You blacked out in the Vegas Strip. Shout out to the Kid Mero. But yeah, oof. Yeah, weddings are... There's some good times.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zeit Gang, let us know if you've ever seen a parent or a relative single-handedly nearly bring down a wedding with a speech.
My dad was talking about a speech he saw at a wedding recently where they talked about how quickly the woman slept with the guy.
And
that,
my God.
And that weighed into how he
my
knew.
God.
And that's how I knew that very strange.
That my son was marrying a whore.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
But she was pretty chill. Hell yeah.
She also slept with me and your mother. I don't know if you know that, but...
Things got wild in Tempe.
Oh, man.
Tempe. It was definitely in Tempe. And it's time for Miles to quiz us on some upcoming Hallmark Christmas movies.
First of all, let me posit this question.
It's about time.
How many of us enjoy a terrible Christmas movie?
I'm not with you.
I'm a trash human.
I'm also not with you.
Okay. Right. My blood type is terrible Christmas movies.
Okay.
Because there's no better way to just ignore your annihilation fantasies you have than to sit on a couch and watch these meaningless films where a person from a big city has to move to a small town to figure out the meaning of Christmas.
Right.
It's typically the construction. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I asked is because, to me, these films are so formulaic that at times, from the title alone, you can begin to figure out what the plot of the film is. Mm. So Hallmark just announced their full list of holiday movies. And the titles with some synopses. And I just want to see if, you know, for some media savvy individuals like yourself.
Right. I like garbage media and garbage movies.
So right. And just knowing how these films are developed, how the titles all have to be kind of witty.
This is the deal where it's 31 Christmas movies in the days of September or December or something.
They would just pack it every day, basically. Okay, yeah. I think October 25th.
Again, start a little early.
It starts October 25th. There's 40 films they have, first of all. So here we go. I just want to put this title up to you.
Wow.
This one is called A Christmas Scavenger Hunt.
Okay. Now you're saying that it's usually about a city girl who has to go back to the country.
Not always, but it's always some very, very generic rom-com construction.
Yeah, I'm assuming this is sort of a Gift of the Magi kind of deal.
Okay.
Where they've sent each other out on these scavenger hunts and they get the thing, but they had to sell their other thing that matched with it to get the other present for that one.
Okay.
Does everyone know what Gift of the Magi is?
No.
It's like one of these tropes. I mean, it's a story, but now it's a trope where let's say the guy gets a haircut for the girl or gets a hairbrush for the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then the girl wants to buy something for the guy, and so she like cuts off her hair to sell her hair to get money for the guy's watch. But then the guy had to cut off his hand,
right?
You know, to get money for the hairbrush. Right.
Oh wow!
And so they give it to him, and they can't use them anymore. Yeah, yeah.
They learn a lesson about love.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm guessing this guy, you know, gets
that's overly complex.
A star for that.
That's. I'm sorry. I'm just gonna cut you off, and I'm just gonna tell you.
Oh, that's not
Jack,
it.
Jack, just go for it.
Okay, scavenger hunt. There's a Christmas scavenger hunt that happens in the city or the country, and a couple is competing against each other, a man and a woman are competing against each other and eventually fall in love.
Nearly fucking spot on.
Wow.
Wow.
When Belinda heads back to her hometown for the holidays, things get complicated when she's forced to team up with her ex, Dustin, at the town's annual Christmas scavenger hunt.
Yeah, the town's.
Okay, how about this?
Yours is, by the way, just way too meaningful.
See, this is a Hallmark executive like, nah,
if I could do it again, I would have said it's just a scavenger hunt that ends with her finding a diamond ring.
There you
go.
Yeah,
there you go.
How about this one? A Christmas duet.
Okay.
Typically the titles give you everything.
Yeah, okay. So I want to go with the competition aspect. They're both auditioning for the same chair, cello or something.
God, okay,
and then in the end, one of them gets it, but then they decide to do a duet instead.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with the girl is coming from the city. She's a musician. She's moved away to ply her musical trade in the city. She's going back home. Her ex or a high school boyfriend is also there, and they end up duet, like playing music together and falling in love.
Wow. Okay, so it's about a well-loved music duo, Avery and Jesse, famous for their duet, Wouldn't Be Christmas. They haven't played together in years and have since gone their separate ways.
Ooh.
Avery has given up music and opened up a beautiful, simple, yet idyllic lodge in snowy Vermont.
Mm.
While Jesse still tours and he's struggling to find the same kind of success they had as a duo. When fate brings them together, can they find happiness and success once more?
I bet that bucolic rural setting is better for the soul than his touring and worldly ways, if I had to guess.
Okay. One last one, because this is just so absurd. This is called Picture a Perfect Christmas. This is so zany, though. You're probably not going to get it, but I just like that they think this is a thing that would be a good Christmas film.
So a Christmas family picture, something.
I'll give you a hint. Line? It's about a photographer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, think of a photographer that really has nothing to do with Christmas.
Okay, but don't be obscene. Magazine photographer.
I'm guessing it's a school portrait photographer.
Okay.
And he takes pictures of different schools, and then when they get...
Wait, he takes pictures of schools?
He's just a creepy guy outside of a school being like, all right.
He's not employed by a company.
Luther Wilson Elementary, click.
So he takes portraits of all the kids at different schools.
Okay.
And then
got it.
He accidentally switches... He accidentally sends the wrong prince to the wrong family.
The Christmas movie.
On Christmas.
It's just Christmas is like a background.
Yeah,
right. Because it's just a commentary on how long it takes to get the pictures.
Interesting.
Because they took the pictures 9 months earlier.
He's a... Okay, wait, can I try one more?
Sure, yeah.
A dating profile picture taker?
No.
Ah, it's shit.
Look how angry. Oh,
damn you, Hallmark.
The movie centers around an extreme sports photographer who returns home for the holiday to look after her grandmother and ends up lending a helping hand to a neighbor who needs assistance watching his nephew.
What does that have to do with extreme sports?
There's probably an opening. Love.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Well, she's probably picked up a few tricks of the trade from her extreme sports people.
Right.
And I bet the kid is having trouble with some manner of extreme sports or just like building up the courage to do something. And in helping the nephew, her and the uncle fall in love.
Or it's like, it's just a picture. You know what I mean? Don't get intimidated by the picture. It's just a moment.
I watched one of these yesterday on the plane.
A Christmas film?
No, but the exact same structure, like a Hallmark film. It's called Falling in Love, 2 Ends.
Ah.
Christina Milian, you know, lives the corporate rat race. Yeah. I think she said hamster wheel in the movie 48 times. And then she enters a contest to win an inn in New Zealand by writing an essay. She wins it. And then throughout the movie...
Wait, she wins it like she becomes a proprietor of this property?
Yes, so she moves to New Zealand and then to get this idea, like, but it's a mess and she's got to clean it up.
Money trap
and
situation.
And people keep saying, like, about how, like, this this guy was running this scam.
Right.
You know, the contest was a scam. And then at the end, there's no scam. They never bring up the fact that anyone said it might be a scam. And then it just works out perfectly.
And she has impeccable managerial skills.
Impeccable.
I love it.
Speaking of scams, I have a friend who's visiting in town, and they, like, got a place through one of the, I think, Airbnb, or not Airbnb, the other one.
VRBO.
VRBO. And it's just a complete scam. Like, they took really nice pictures, like, paid a lot of money, and then the place is a complete dump. And
holy shit.
The person emailed them. The person emailed them the next day and was like, I'm going to tell everybody that you threw a huge party and destroyed the place if you try and get your money back. And they're like,
You literally sent me evidence of your plot.
Wait, they...
Bye.
Yeah. They sent... I mean, what about the screenshot of that message? Can't they send that to VRBO?
Well, no, didn't say it like, I'm going to tell people that. They said, you threw a huge party last night and
I don't want to tell
ruin
people,
the place.
But
yeah. That sort of thing. So, anyways.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Have friends who live where you're going. Check out the place if possible.
Yep. And just don't contribute to housing crises.
Yes.
But how many times can they get away with that? Like, VRBO gets a complaint every time someone stays there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these companies are not staffed as well as you would think.
I had a dispute with one of those companies. Shit took forever.
Right.
And there was shit coming out the toilets. Mm. And they're like, you want your money back?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, there's raw sewage.
Shit's supposed
on
to go
my
in
feet.
The toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not come out the bottom of the seams because they sped up their renovations too much. I've seen it 100 times. I watch a lot of house flipping shows.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.